Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Listen as I read God's word from James 5, verses 13 to 18. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is the word of the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for prayer. We confess that we don't use it as much as we should, and even when we do, often we mistakenly use it for selfish purposes. We pray that you will look down upon us this morning as we consider this ministry of prayer. May we find ourselves equipped better to pray for one another, to support one another, to look to you for direction and guidance in our own lives, but also in our outreach to those around us. And so, Father, bless our time together in the Word this morning. I pray that the words of my mouth, words I speak, may be pleasing in your sight, and that the meditation of the hearts of those who hear will be pleasing to you. And so we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen. Over and over again in the book of James, we read of the matter of conflict in the life of a Christian, conflict in the church, the body of Jesus Christ. You are going to have trouble in this world, even if you're a Christian. Some people say, well, you know, when we become a Christian, then our troubles are over. Well, the Bible says that some of the trouble, some of the problems that you encounter in your life come about just because you're a Christian. We have to accept that and learn how to respond obediently before the Lord when trouble comes to us. James says that one thing you must do when trouble comes is pray. I suggest that prayer should be the first thing we do when we pray. I don't know about most of you, but I don't find that to be happening in my life. It's easy to say that, but it's difficult to practice it. The natural tendency of all of us, I think, is to begin running around looking for a way out of the trouble. Of course, If you're in some situations, you should run. For example, if you're in a burning building, you better get out. But even in that sort of an emergency, we have to keep our wits about us. And the sensible thing for a Christian is to turn to the Lord when problems come. In times of great loss or other difficulty, too many people lose control. And they end up making matters a lot worse for themselves and worse for the people around them. Some even go to the extreme situation to get out of trouble by committing suicide. How much better it is to turn things over to the Lord and let Him guide you through your troubles. One problem for some people is that the only time they pray is when they're in trouble. When things get tough, they're on their knees. But when things go well, they just forget about God. The nation of Israel in the Old Testament had that same problem. Read through the book of Judges sometimes, over and over again, the cycle. God blesses the people, they forget about Him, they misuse the blessings that He gives them, God brings judgment upon them, they realize they have failed, they have been sinful, and they turn back to the Lord, and He blesses them, and then they go off the track again and over again. And the same thing happens with all of us. And that's why we need to listen to James when he says in verse 13, "Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. When blessings come, express praise to the Lord and thankfulness to Him." Praise is really a prayer of joy. Now, that's not a popular thing to do today in the world in general. A happy occasion is the time to bring out the booze, have a party. Too often, that happy party ends up bringing sadness to many people. How much better to give thanks and praise to the Lord for His blessings. Now, singing praise doesn't always have to be limited to church service either. Certainly, you should bring your happiness and your praise to church. It's appropriate to sing praises to the Lord. We love to do that here. But you should also take those songs of praise outside the church. I like to whistle. And a lot of people say, "Oh man, you must be a happy man. You whistle all the time." Well, I do. And I whistle hymns. Amazing Grace, that's my default whistling. But James says, "Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise." And I don't sense that James is limiting that praise to the inside of the four walls of a church building. Thirdly, prayer in sickness, verses 14 and 15. "Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." Maybe some of you are sick this morning. Or you have family members who are sick. I'm sure most of you are aware of the fact that to reach out to the Lord in prayer is not some magic formula by which you can get rid of all sickness. and escape pain and death altogether. It doesn't work that way. The appeal here to the elders is a recognition of the power of the Lord flowing through his body, the church. We should be close enough together as members of the body of Christ that we know when others are hurting, and we should reach out to them. We should all feel something of that pain together. When one cries, we should cry along with them and come next to them and support them. When the elders are praying for you, the whole church joins with them in interceding with you before God's throne of grace. With respect to the anointing with oil mentioned here, there are many different ideas of what how that should be handled as a teaching from God's word. Some say that this practice was the chief medical treatment for sickness in the days when the Bible was written. It should therefore teach us to take advantage of every medical means available so that we can experience healing. I don't think that's the primary function of the oil here, because you notice in verse 15 that James says, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. It does not say that medicine will make them well. I would rather think that the anointing oil here is symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence and blessing of the Lord in bringing any healing that comes. God, of course, is a great physician. In saying all of this, I certainly don't want to give the impression that the Bible teaches that we don't need doctors, or that we should shy away from medicines and medical procedures. Some people have gone so far as to say that. There are groups that refuse to have any kind of medical attention, no matter what the illness. The Holy Spirit has given to people minds and abilities to enable them to develop and use all kinds of medicines and technology. My son-in-law is studying at the Milwaukee School of Engineering. He's studying medicine there. I thought, that's crazy. An engineering school? Well, there are lots of equipment that has been developed. John is working with people who are recovering from open heart surgery, and he's in charge of running all of those little pumps and stuff that keep people going and healing. And to refuse all of that is to shun God's blessing, something of his gracious love and care for us. At the same time, in using these means of healing, we should remain very mindful of the fact that the Lord our God himself is the great physician. And he's ultimately the one behind any healing and recovery that takes place. And the anointing of oil, I think, is a symbol which shows our awareness of the Lord's healing presence with us in sickness. He's there because he loves us. He's there because he has promised to be with us, never to leave us or forsake us. And God keeps his promises. He hears and responds to the prayers of his faithful people. Fourthly, James talks about prayer in confession. Notice in verse 16 that James says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You might be saying to yourself, well, that disqualifies me. I certainly am not righteous. In a sense, you are correct. The requirements to be righteous before our prayers are answered will disqualify all of us from ever having our prayers answered. We may feel that way, but God does not operate on the basis of our feelings. God acts in accordance with the promises He has given us in His Word. What God promises, He will do. If you believe that, then you must also trust in the possibility of being righteous before God in Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1, 8 and 9, which I read earlier in the service in connection with our confession of sin, John writes, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins and call out to the Lord, He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. For us to be purified from unrighteousness is to be made righteous in God's sight. When we confess our sins to God, and incidentally, when we confess our sins to those around us, maybe we have to confess those sins to the elders in the church, then we will be purified. We will be forgiven in Christ before God Almighty. It's very likely that when James mentions confession here in connection with sickness, he may have in mind a sin that has brought on that sickness. Of course, not all sicknesses are directly connected to some specific sin, but some are. I'm thinking, for example, of some liver diseases, or heart diseases, or lung problems that can be brought on by excessive drinking of alcohol or smoking tobacco or chewing tobacco, or by overeating. To pray for healing while you continue to do something that may have brought on or aggravates your sickness is a very foolish thing to do. Very possibly, God won't hear your prayers because of what you're doing to increase your pain and sickness. In verses 17 and 18, James directs our attention to an occasion of answered prayer in the life of the prophet Elijah. There we read, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. It would be valuable for us to take more time to work through the life of Elijah and show how he was a good example of what James is talking about here, because James brings this example before us. Do that on your own. You'll find the event referred to in the book of James here in the book of 1 Kings, chapters 17, 18, and 19. In those three Old Testament chapters, you will discover how human Elijah was, how he was just like us. He had some doubting responses to the power of God. You remember, he overcame, he won a contest with all of those pagan priests and so forth. He put them to shame by bringing fire from heaven to consume the offering that Elijah had made in the name of the Lord. But then Elijah was fearful of facing Ahab's wife Jezebel. He didn't think God had power to protect him. So Elijah was just like us. Or maybe we're just like Elijah. Either way, there's a problem there. But we can be encouraged by the example of Elijah. And God's word this morning from James 5, 13 to 18. It sets before us something of our ministry of prayer. Listen again to those verses from James. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Yourself, prayer for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and prayer for those with whom you come in contact in your lives. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the blessing of prayer. Guide us to use it more effectively in our lives. We pray that we may experience your love and mercy, that we may experience a changing power of prayer in our own lives and in the lives of those who are the object of our prayers. And may all of this be done in such a way that it brings honor and glory to you, not to ourselves, Lord, but to you, our great God and Savior. Hear us then, in Jesus' name, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.